Hi, you're listening to The Sideshow on 103.2 Dublin City FM. This week, the kids have taken over the airwaves, so grab your gardening gloves and listen carefully while we share our best tips. Let's get growing!
The Sideshow. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sideshow. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
So, I'm kind of blessed, or maybe Ella is, depending on who you are. Maybe when she grows up, she'll refute all of this gardening stuff. She'll turn around, and I know people who send, for example, sent, past tense, their children to piano lessons in the hope that they would be this wonderful pianist. This is obviously a hypothetical child, but you've got your own example of this. And the child at 18 years of age never touched the piano again. Once he hit college and grew his hair long and did all of those things and ended up in Azerbaijan and never really got into that, turned into a heavy metal fan. At the same token, last week, Ella Donegan, my wee little gem, apple of my eye, whatever you wish to call her, standing next to me, standing next to the hens, we sowed seeds for the first time together at 2 years of age. They were presents that she had got for her birthday present from the many very kind and generous aunties and uncles that we have. And I had asked them not to bring her presents, so they brought her something small. And gardening stuff, generally speaking, is good for value fun. It also means, as a dad, I got to spend 2 hours listening to a musical teapot, doing a job that I know in my brain should have taken about 30 seconds. We covered the whole floor of the inside of the house while it was raining outside with compost. The place was in bits, in short. But it was good fun. And silly as it might sound, a memory, a passage, a time, a journey, a something spent together. Between the jigs and the reels and all of this, what is alarmingly astounding is the fact that Ella was given a Lego kit. And it came with, no joke, carrots. Lego carrots. It came with a picket fence and it came with two rabbits and some flowers. Now, all I could think in my head whilst I opened this box of Lego was that if Ella, at 2 years of age, had my horticultural knowledge, she would have so many sleepless nights. Because I know for sure, unless there's wire mesh going at least 2 foot below ground, those rabbits will either jump it or go under it or around it or somehow or other. That picket fence definitely wasn't sturdy, Lego or no Lego. There was Peppa Pig wheelbarrows, Peppa Pig trowels, Peppa Pig grow your own gardening kits. This is almost the return back to the 80s. And we spoke about this so many times before, that there used to be that patch down the back of the garden where you threw things, grass cuttings, twigs, vegetable peelings. It was called a compost heap, apparently, but we just didn't realise it. Somewhere in between all of that, we had rhubarb, we had lettuce sets, and people grew their own vegetables. My dad told me stories of years ago in Drimna on the south side of Dublin, where people were growing vegetables in their front garden. In 1980s Ireland, gardening wasn't fashionable at all. I was, amongst many things, a little bit dorky or girly, whichever you like to call it. It's nice to see a welcome return. But in between all of this, as I did say on the intro, I do wonder sometimes whether the commercialisation of gardening has maybe gone a little bit too far. And also in there, as parents, do we actually ask the kids, our children? I mean, Ella can't speak for herself, but do we actually ask our kids? Do they want to go? Gardening on the side, let me tell you this, I know for sure, I know people who own apartment balconies who garden more than people with acre-sized gardens. I know people who know and are willing to admit that they do not have an interest in growing their own food. So they take the lazy man's, as I call it, the cheater's guide to growing your own. They plant fruit trees. You see the apple, you pick it, you leave it there. Bam, that's it. Stuff like rhubarb, sorrel, chives all fit into that. Fruit bushes, gooseberries, blackcurrants, they all fit into that plethora of stuff that is considered by me the cheater's guide to growing your own or looking green. If you're in that category, there you go. Go plant a tree. Other than that, take a listen to Brian's competition in the horticultural world.
Hi, Peter and Brian. This is Ellie here, and I'd like to thank you for giving me this great opportunity to talk about gardening. Here's my mum to interview me.
So, Ellie, why don't you tell us what it was that got you interested in starting in gardening?
Well, in school, there is a senior gardening club for 4th, 5th and 6th formers, and I decided to join it since I'm in 6th form. And after a while, I began to get into things and I started to think I like growing things, so I might as well grow some things of my own.
What kind of things are you growing this term in terms of at school?
Well, I'm growing radishes, strawberries and potatoes, and the juniors are also growing leeks.
How do you make a decision about what to grow?
Well, we find the best plants that will grow during the spring and summer, depending on what term it is. So if it was winter term, we'd choose something that could start growing in December.
And how do you look after those plants during the course of the week? What kind of involvement do you have?
Every Monday at 3:30, we go to the allotments and we weed and we water and we also rake up, and sometimes we plant new things. After that, sometimes we do a bit of gardening at lunchtimes.
Now, we were very excited at home this last week or two because we had a new arrival. What was that?
Well, in school, we were planting some strawberry plants on one half of an allotment, and we dug up a root by accident. So she asked who'd like to take it home. So a couple of us volunteered to take some strawberry plants home because there were so many, and I decided I would like to take some home. So I brought it home and I started planting the strawberry plants in a strawberry pot.
What made you decide to put the strawberries in the strawberry pot?
The strawberry pot is easier to maintain, and the cats that roam around, well, it's harder for them to get at.
I should say they're not our cats.
Yes, they're not our cats. And also, it looks really pretty when they're fully grown.
Do you think strawberry pots are good for anybody else to use?
I think they're really good for people who have smaller gardens or balconies, because you don't need an allotment or soil to plant them. You just need a bit of compost and strawberry pot.
Now, you've been watching these strawberry pot plants grow millimetre by millimetre, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And it's really fun to watch them step by step and help them along the process.
What's going to be the best part, though?
I think when the strawberries are fully grown and we get to eat them.
Yeah, I think we need to make sure we've got lots of strawberries for that. We all love strawberries in our home, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, if anybody's listening and they're maybe in 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th class, what would you suggest, perhaps if they haven't got a club like you have where you're using the allotments local to the school, what would you suggest they might do to get started gardening?
Well, I would suggest web searching or researching in books and seeing what they think would be easiest to grow for where they live, such as if you have a small garden, you might want pots to grow, whereas if you have a large garden, you should select a space in the sun or in the shade, depending on which plant you want to grow, and then get all the information you need, the compost, the pots and the plant or seeds, and start growing.
And do you think you need to have any special equipment? Or what do you do? Do you have like kind of regular sized rakes and forks and all of those things?
Well, I have a large shovel, some trowels and a small hand rake. I also have a watering can and a hose so I can spray hose them so it doesn't get too sodden when I water them. Those are pretty much the only things you need, and then you just need the pots.
And what about those grubby hands that you sometimes come home with?
Well, I would think a good washing will get rid of that dirt.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about gloves or anything like that?
Well, you can if you're weeding or anything, so you might need gloves if you do that. But usually when you're just putting home past at the start, you won't need any. But when it gets later on and there's brambles or something like that, then you would need gloves.
Well, thanks so much for your insider tips on gardening and doing gardening clubs as well. And I'm looking forward to eating those strawberries. Sorry, there won't be any for you, Brian or Peter. Thanks, Ellie, for giving us an insider look to what goes on in your gardening club. And I hope you've enjoyed listening, Brian and Peter, about all of our strawberries that have been growing. But I can't promise there'll be any for you. Ellie, why don't you let Brian and Peter know how they can find you if they're looking for you online?
They can just go to girlsthoughts.com.
Thanks, Brian and Peter, for having us on the show.
Bye.
Thanks, Ellie and Ellie's mum, Krishna, for that lovely report. Now I feel like I've got so much to learn. Now we go to Cashel in Tipperary and Bernie Gullback and his daughter Mia with a few tips for us.
So you'd say, hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
And what were you going to tell him?
You.
No, you were going to say something about this little girl.
You.
Mia's getting shy. Aren't you going to say something about this little girl talking? No? Are you going to tell them about your seeds?
Yeah.
What happened to your seeds?
My cucumbers are drooping.
Why?
Because they need food.
Are you going to put jelly on it?
No.
What happened to the jelly?
It fell on the stairs.
And were you going to put jelly on the cucumbers first?
No.
What are you going to put? What kind of food do the cucumbers like?
Cucumbers?
Cucumbers like cucumbers to eat?
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
No.
So we'll have to look for cucumber food. Where would you go? Would you go to the shops for cucumber food? No? Where would you get... Yeah? What would you... And would you go to the place inside the shops where they have cucumbers and see what the cucumbers are eating?
Oh, you need to put on the seeds.
Oh, wait a minute. Do cucumbers have mouths?
What?
Do cucumbers eat with their mouths?
No.
Where are they going to eat then? How do they... If cucumbers need food, how are they going to eat?
People need to feed them.
Where are they going to eat the food? Or are you just going to put it on the soil?
You don't need to put it on top of them with water.
Okay, we're going to have to take a picture of this so Peter knows what we're doing.
Okay.
And that's it. Adventures in Cucumbers. Dylan's watching. Nearly 11 months old now. But he doesn't have anything to say because Mia takes all the airtime. Bye for now.
Thanks, Bernie, and thanks, Mia. It's time for the Sod Show Song of the Week.
Regina! Regina!
What?
When is that song going to start?
Which song?
The song that goes like... Regina started already. It's gonna start in a second. You just gotta wait. It's gonna start now.
Stare at us. Blow bubbles with their gum. Take photographs of fun. Have fun. They'll name a city after us.
103.2 Dublin City FM, Regina Spektor and us from the album Soviet Kitchen. I can't remember what year it was, but way, we got the children on the show today and they're showing me what it's all about. Peter Donegan's on the line. How are you, Peter?
Brian, how are you? Good to hear you again, mate.
Yeah, so I'm going to get straight into it. I kicked this off about 2 weeks ago with a question: would I get around to doing what I ought to be doing, and that is putting bulbs and seeds in soil and waiting for them to grow? And I've done it, and that led to some of the content we've had on the earlier part of the show, the kids kind of putting it up to me to say, yeah, they're doing it too, which is great, and it isn't a competition. But here I am doing it, and this is not a put on by the Sod Show just for to get more listeners or anything. I haven't a clue what I'm doing, and I've three pots on my windowsill, and I'm not sure if I'm doing it right. So I water them, and that's all I've been doing since I put them into the pots, and I'm watering from below. Is that correct?
Capillary action, Brian, is the horticultural term, but yes, you are entirely correct.
Okay, so I'm doing that, and they're on the windowsill, and it's a west-facing window, so they don't get sun till the late afternoon and into the evening. They're not getting baked out of it, but I'm keeping them moist all the time. Is that right?
What I'd say is a twofold. I wouldn't let them seep or steep in water as you might do, let's say, Brussels sprouts overnight. But at the same token, the best way to do it is allow them soak up what they need, free drain it off, and then leave them until it goes dry. And if you don't know what dry is, take a dry tea bag and take a tea bag that has been squeezed. The difference between the two is kind of what you're looking for.
Okay, so what I have been doing is I've been putting in a little, it's been drinking it up, and then I've been putting in more. Should I give it a kind of a day or two to go more dry?
Again, yeah, it's you know, look, if you've no sun out, the less the plant grows, the less water it requires. So the better answer, Brian, is an understanding, if that makes any sense to you. In that, what I would say is what you're looking for is kind of damp but leaning towards the dry as versus saturated. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, like a child in school and the nature table, I have brought one of my pots to the studio today and I've got it here and I'm concerned. So listen to the concern in my voice, Peter, that it's kind of going, it looks white or grey, but it's very faint amount, but it's a change in colour on the top of the soil. What's going on there and should I be concerned? It's a little bit whitey grey.
Sometimes you just get this little bit of a, I mean, you have to bear in mind that, that compost is a is an organic-based material. I say organic in the sense that it is something that was living, which is now breaking down. So you may end up with a little bit of white, which is a little bit like, you know, a fungus or a bread mold or something like that. It can happen that quick. At the same token, it's just part of it drying out as well, possibly. Again, I'm not there with you, so I'm giving you two answers to cover my Barney. But yeah, nothing I would be worried about. Just scratch it off with the tip of your finger and keep doing what you were doing.
Okay, but it seems to be all over it. But I shouldn't be worried. That's not going to kill off anything that should grow out of this. There's also the possibility that the bulbs I put into it, you did ask me earlier to reference what I'm actually planted here. So I've got the cards. I suppose that's the clever thing to do, is to keep the cardboard that came with the packets. And I'm talking freesia bulbs. Freesias mixed 5 to 6 centimetres. Does that mean that's how tall they'll grow, or that's how deep I have to put them in the pot?
The theory on planting anything, generally...
Hang on a sec. It says here, plant February to April, so I did that. Flowering time, July to September. Height, 25 centimetres. So it's 5 to 6 on the front, and it's 25 on the back. So, sorry, you were going to answer me there.
Yeah, no, the theory on planting the bulbs in general is twice the depth. So if it's 1 inch tall of a bulb, plant it 2 inches below the surface, if that makes sense to you. Equally with seeds, it would be the same thing. Our same theory would apply. Obviously, there are general exceptions to the rule now and again, but if you're ever stuck, that's what it's about. The other thing I would say, just in short, is if you're ever planting bulbs and you're a first-time grower, just give it a lash and don't be worrying. If you don't like it when it comes out of the ground or when it comes above surface, you can give it to grandmam as a present.
Okay. I also have antrinium seeds.
Spell it.
Antirrhinium.
Antirrhinium.
Antirrhinium. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're in a pot as well. I am like the children. I am looking every day to see if anything's going to happen. I'm looking at plant between February and April. It'll flower in July. So I should be seeing something in a couple of weeks' time, should I? I shouldn't be looking daily now for green shoots.
No, you should see something within about, you know, 10 to 14 days is, again, general rule, £1 or 1,000. 10 to 14 days is what would be grassy germination. So if your plants are anything along those lines, I suppose that's a good barometer for you. But yeah, you should see something within about 2 weeks above surface. Again, part of it is to do with how far below soil level you actually planted the seeds.
Yeah, I probably went about half an inch below soil, so about 3/4 the depth of a bulb. It's down. That's all.
And how big are the seeds, Brian?
Oh, the seeds were tiny. They were like specks of dust.
I personally would have just scattered them on the top.
Oh no, I put them, the seeds on the top. The bulbs though were down about 3/4 the depth of a bulb.
Then I'm quite impressed.
Okay, just on the bulbs, right? They were in kind of a tool cabinet in a bag from Tesco, and they might have been there a season or two. That's not going to have any effect. Well, if they were sitting there dry in a cabinet, they have to be fresh bulbs, or am I in trouble?
You may be, and again, for those listening, I haven't seen these bulbs. I haven't seen Brian ever with dirty fingers. Apologies for speaking in the third person, but a bulb, in short, is a store of food. It's like a potato. And when it tries to produce a stalk, it doesn't necessarily need your soil, like spuds sprouting in the bottom of the bag. It will produce those shoots. So the usual test for bulbs is if you squeeze them like a rotten onion, if it squeezes inwards, don't use it. If it's a solid mass inside, you're relatively okay.
I think I'm in trouble very quickly because time is running out. I should have planted more of these to increase my mathematical chances, my betting odds, because I've only got two going. I should have really put more in more pots just to increase my chances. Is that right?
Yeah, it would be right. But first thing is good stock or good bulbs or, you know, good plants behind the scenes, hugely important. That's check number one. Number two is soil. Number three is caring for. But if number one is wrong, which is good stock, which you probably don't have, then your chances are diminishing all the way.
I've got a bad feeling about this, but I'm going to get back on the horse if these die, because I'm going to try again. Peter, as always, it's been wonderful. Thanks to the contributors to today's programme, as mentioned earlier, and look forward to Sod Show number 63 next week. Take care, and thanks, Peter.
Excellent. So, Brian, have a great weekend. Take care.
Bye-bye. I bet you wonder how I knew about your plan. Crying.